At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your Hornets podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us here one last time on the 23-24 season for a game preview edition of the HHC. Hornets will wrap up the campaign visiting the Cleveland Cavaliers, and we will preview the game. Also, look back on this 23-24 season and look at really the NBA as a whole. How good is this last day going to be for fans of basketball? Helping me on all of these topics, one of our favorites. You hear him each and every day on our flagship radio station, 92.7 Sports Radio WFNZ. He is the host of the Kyle Bailey Show, as well as the host of the Hornets pregame show on our flagship station. The great Kyle Bailey with us one more time here on the 23-24 season. Kyle, thanks for joining us for the finale game preview edition.
Good morning, Sam Farber. It is great to be with you, my friend. Hard to believe that the season is at its end once again. We keep getting older year by year. These things seem to go faster and faster. I know the season didn't go the way we hoped that it would, but it's been fun working with you.
It's been a pleasure for me as well to get to work with you and talk to you. It seems like just about every day. You're right, they go fast, and you never want to wish away an opportunity to work in this great business and work with great people that you enjoy and to take in the great games. So we'll take advantage here on the last day with multiple conversations. You get to talk to me on the podcast, and we'll be talking to you on the pregame show in short order as well. But before we look ahead to this game and look ahead to this day for the NBA as a whole, I wanted to look back. I mean, we have the benefit of hindsight now. Obviously, injuries are the main storyline for Charlotte here in the 23-24 season. But my, grand question to you here to tip off this podcast is, if, we have the benefits of hindsight, if we rewound the clock and said, all right, instead of closing day of the NBA season, it's now opening day, what do you think you would have advised the Hornets to do differently, if anything, in preparation for this season?
You gave me a heads up that we were going to talk about this, and I've been racking my brain about that. And I don't know, Sam. It's a great question, but I don't know that I have a great answer when a team has been racked by injuries. And maybe there's something that's not coming to mind right now. Maybe you've got an idea. But, I mean, I go back to opening night and the win over Atlanta and how excited we were about finally having found a big man again here in Charlotte, Mark Williams, and watching the potential of him and LaMelo to grow together, and Brandon Miller, the newcomer, and, all the things that we discussed back then, and so excited about the future of this team. And for the second straight year, injuries have, really robbed us of an opportunity to watch what this team could be together. And then we had that, that fun time right after the trade deadline through the All-Star break where, you had a bunch of newcomers coming in, but then injuries beset this team again. So I don't know, Sam. It's a great question, but with back-to-back seasons of more or less the same thing, it's hard to come up with something that I could have instructed them to do differently, other than force LaMelo to wear ankle braces, which is a tongue-in-cheek answer. But like, I'm joking about that. Like, I don't know what they could have done to avoid this stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. The fact that the gap between the Hornets and a play-in tournament spot is 16 games. The fact that the gap between the Hornets and a playoff spot, a top six seed, is 26 games, that is an enormous amount to make up. So the things that I would have suggested really are not going to be fixed by it, because you have to bank on your stars being stars. You can't assume injury is going to happen to LaMelo Ball and Mark Williams. So the things I would think of, maybe the investment earlier in the season, preseason, in a third center to give you a little bit more depth, to give you the ability to survive that stretch, not knowing at the time it was going to be essentially the entire season or three quarters of it. But, a third center right from the jump might have helped the Hornets. Maybe one or two extra veterans instead of one or two extra young players would have been advantageous at the time to win a couple extra games, but is it going to make up 16 or 26 games? No, it's not. You know, LaMelo Ball is that important. Mark Williams is that important. And losing them for as long as the Hornets did really hamstrung the Hornets of having any chances. So, you know, maybe it puts a Band-Aid on something that requires surgery. But for the Hornets, I don't think there was a way outside of better luck on the health front to fix the 16-game gap that separates them from the 10 seed in the East, the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was last week, and I don't know what the exact numbers are up to now. I'm sure they're climbing all the time, but you know, the NBA as a whole surpassed the 5,000-game mark in games lost to injury across the league, and the Hornets that same weekend surpassed the 300-game threshold. They're well beyond that now, and that's disproportionate to the rest of the league. I think the math on that is somewhere like the Hornets account for like 8 to 9% of the entire league's games lost due to injury. That's disproportionate. So, you know, once again, they've been hit hard with this stuff. You're right. I mean, you could have said, hey, maybe a third center, but how many teams carry third centers capable, you know, of keeping them above 500 if the first two guys go out? You know, maybe another veteran option in the backcourt, but I don't know that's the way they wanted to set this team up coming into the season, because I believe they felt like they would stay healthy, and that if, you know, the guys they were counting on proved to be enough, at least for the first half of the season, well, they'd go bring in reinforcements at the trade deadline. So it's a fun exercise and a great question, but with this team, I just keep coming back to guys kept dropping like flies, and there was nothing Steve Clifford could do about it at a certain point.
Yeah, I agree. The benefit is that it's an accelerant towards not even a rebuild, but a chance to really totally do a 180 on your franchise, because the Hornets are going to, if the lottery odds are favorable for the Hornets here, they're going to have a chance to have three top five picks in a four-year span. And that is a chance to really make some noise, because you think historically teams like the Seattle Supersonics / Oklahoma City Thunder, right when they made the move, they had a similar stretch in the draft, got Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, put that franchise on a good trajectory for 15 years. With the Philadelphia 76ers, the process squads, they got that many picks by design. They didn't do as well with those picks. And so even though they've now kind of ascended because one of them ended up being one of the best players of the day, you know, they could have been a lot better had they hit on the other two guys as well, in addition to Joel Embiid. And then you even look right now, you know, teams like Oklahoma City that are built through the draft, teams like Orlando that have done well in the lottery in general. So there's a real opportunity here for us to look back and say, hey, it was tough medicine to swallow, but it was worth it, because Charlotte ended up with LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, and whomever is coming next.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've got a number three pick, a number two pick. You got two other top 15 picks, and you and I both know that the draft experts don't think particularly highly of this draft class. Now, I also heard you say on the pregame show to us last week, I believe it was, that you know, you think there are two to three star players in every draft. I'm paraphrasing a bit there, and I would agree with that. There are players in this draft that will make a big impact in the NBA, but you got to find them. And maybe it is as simple as, in this case, like Alex Sarr, the young Frenchman, brother Olivier Sarr, played at Kentucky and Wake Forest, I believe. I mean, I think there's a growing consensus that he should be the number one overall pick, and maybe that is the right pick, and maybe the Hornets end up with that pick, and maybe that's the player that plugs in and changes the fortunes of the franchise. We'll have to wait and see. We don't even know who the next head coach is going to be. So as you were rattling off those teams there a second ago, Orlando was the first one that came to mind for me, because we'd watched them collect talent, collect draft picks for a number of years. At times it was odd fitting, like the names on the roster was impressive, but the record wasn't. And they bring in Paolo Banchero and they tweak a couple of things, and bing, bang, boom, they're a 50-win basketball team barreling toward the playoffs. So this could happen quickly for the Hornets if they get it right.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens, but good to know that we're on the same page. I know that we've got the smartest audience, though, here of any Hornets podcast, so I'm sure they've got some better answers than we've come up with, other than injury luck is bad to say that there might have been a fix for the Hornets.
I'm a big Occam's razor guy. I mean, I'm a big Occam's razor guy, right? The simplest solution is often the right solution. In this case, sometimes things can just be simple. If your stars don't miss that many games, you're looking at different fortunes.
Certainly would have helped. Well, the Hornets have one last day, one last game here in this 23-24 season, and we will get set to preview the matchup with Cleveland in just a moment. First, though, we're going to look at the overall setting for the NBA here with one game remaining. A lot still on the line. We'll talk about it with Kyle Bailey after this quick break here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Sam Farber, Kyle Bailey of the Kyle Bailey Show on 92.7 Sports Radio WFNZ here with you on the last day of the regular season in the NBA. And we've got a game preview coming up for Hornets versus Cavaliers, at Cavaliers, I should say, here, which you can hear on 92.7 Sports Radio WFNZ. Earlier tip time, so definitely hustle over there. You can catch the rest of this podcast. But if you're listening to this segment, maybe it's too late already, because we're going to talk about what's at stake in most of these games tipping off simultaneously to create maximum fairness for everyone. But Kyle, there is so much on the line for a handful of teams in the NBA here on the final day of the season. It always amazes me in really all sports. Football, not so much, because there's less games, so I feel like it's more likely you'll have crowded competition. There's less time to separate. But in basketball, 82-game season. Hockey, similar stretch of a season. Baseball, 162-game season. The fact that you can toil and work for months and months and months and end up absolutely tied at the end of it, going into the final day, it's simply amazing. And that's really the case for a handful of teams today in the NBA. In the Eastern Conference, the two seed between Milwaukee, New York, and Cleveland is at stake, which means the three and four seeds are also up in the air. Maybe even more fascinating to a certain degree, the five, six, and seven seeds are up for grabs between Orlando, Indiana, and Philadelphia. Fascinating, because one of those teams is going to have to go into the play-in tournament. And I suppose there's a scenario where you can even factor in an eighth team. Miami could leapfrog a squad or two, depending on how things go on the final day. Then in the Western Conference, you've got a battle for home court advantage between 8, 9, and 10. You've got a battle for the one seed overall between Oklahoma City, Minnesota, and Denver, who enter this final day all even. So from the Hornets' perspective, they are basically in a bottom three position right now in the NBA. But everywhere else, you see really entertaining and fascinating permutations or different scenarios here that could occur based off this last day of the year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we do have, by the way, Devontae Graham to thank for that. Always a Hornet, forever a Hornet, Devontae Graham, for part of it anyway. That shot he hit. But, you know, the Western Conference is really fascinating, right? You just mentioned there are three teams vying for the two seed in the Eastern Conference, but three teams vying for the number one seed in the Western Conference. All three teams in the same division, right? Meaning that the tiebreaker should be that two or all three teams end up with the same final record head-to-head against. Well, I was looking at this earlier. The Thunder's got the best record against the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Minnesota's next at 4-4. Denver's 3-5. So, I mean, you've got this interdivisional thing in play where they've got to go to tiebreakers here. It's really cool the way this is all played out here at the end of the season. This is a fun league. And the fact that, you know, those three teams that I just mentioned in the Western Conference, pretty legendary Western Conference, by the way. But you've got Denver, Minnesota, and Oklahoma City. The reigning champs, the Timberwolves, who were led by a guy who was drafted in the same draft as LaMelo Ball. And, you know, there's been some back and forth between Hornets fans and Timberwolves fans over the years. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, one of those teams you just rattled off there a minute ago. Not the Lakers, not the Warriors, but the Thunder and the Timberwolves vying with the defending champions for the number one overall seed. And we're watching this league, you know, I think enter a new era with younger stars leading the way. And, you know, that's what a league wants, right? I mean, we're watching the end of LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Chris Paul and things like that. But here's a new young crop of stars, superstars even, that have us talking about OKC and Minnesota tied for the number one seed in the Western Conference. So, you know, that's what, again, I talk about this with baseball. You're a big baseball fan these last several years. We've wondered at times, you know, who's the next young crop of stars that's going to lead this sport into the future. I think we know there, and I think we're watching it come to fruition here in the NBA, and it's really exciting.
The craziest set of circumstances, and really, you know, the point of this segment for me is to give props to the NBA, because I don't think there's another league out there that has been as innovative in terms of bringing in new wrinkles to enhance the regular season without taking away from the magic that is the regular season. You know, there's history behind there being an 82-game schedule, and there's other ways you can alter it that diminishes that. But, you know, basketball has found ways to excel it. Now, I think other sports have attempted things, but I don't think anyone's been nearly as successful as the NBA has been with the play-in tournament. But you look at that Western Conference, that top three, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, and Denver, and the craziest thing about it is you're right, the West is as loaded as it's ever been. All three teams, they can end up 1-2-3, whatever the order is, and lose. They could end up playing, you know, some combination of Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, LeBron James and the LA Lakers, Kevin Durant and the Phoenix Suns, and find themselves one and done in the postseason, and it would be an upset, but it wouldn't be exactly like the Mike Tyson upset from the 80s. I mean, it would be something that you would say, huh, you know, a really, really great team lost to one of the greatest players of all time in the case of Durant, LeBron, or Steph Curry.
Yeah, no, I was saying we might have similar algorithms on social media. I was waiting to talk to you. I was just watching old Mike Tyson fight videos, so that's a funny reference there. The NBA has done a really good job. And it's the most progressive league in terms of, you know, constantly tweaking its formats, the way that it does things. It's also got, and there's similarities here between baseball and basketball, I think, that they both have longstanding international audiences that they also keep in mind too, or borrow from. The NFL's really, we're watching for the first time, try to go into other countries, playing in Sao Paulo, Brazil later this year, playing in places like Germany, where before it was kind of only London. So I say all that to say, again, that the NBA, above all of them, though, has really looked at what other leagues do well and borrowing concepts that are successful to tweak its own league while maintaining tradition. And as you said, hey, there's an historical reason behind an 82-game season. You know, without abandoning all tradition and way of doing things, you know, trying to make the game better and more exciting. I think they recognize that the status quo needed to be updated, and I think the in-season tournament was a hit based on the people that I've talked to. So, you know, all the things that they're doing, not everything works, not everything is lauded as a brilliant decision, but I think they've made more good ones than bad ones here as of late.
100%. It'll be a fun final day of this 23-24 season for fans of basketball in general. They get to take it all in, and the Hornets are going to play a part. They're going to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers today. We will give you our game preview next with Kyle Bailey of Sports Radio WFNZ after this quick break here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Sam Farber, Kyle Bailey here with you on the HHC, the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta. All right, Kyle, the final game of the season is here, game 82. Charlotte is not going to factor in to the postseason picture, but they can have an impact. Hornets are 20-61. They are almost guaranteed, I believe, a bottom three spot. Only way they get out of it is if they win and someone between San Antonio and Portland were to lose on the final day of the season. That would create a tiebreaker scenario, and I haven't gone far enough down the rabbit hole to figure out who has the tiebreaker. I'm sure I will by the time we hop on the pregame show. But for this moment in time, I'm just going to ignore it. Hornets, they are where they are in the standings, but the more fascinating one for most people in the NBA is where Cleveland is. They currently sit in fourth place. They're one game back of Milwaukee and the New York Knicks without going too deep into all of the different permutations and scenarios. Let's just leave it at this. If Cleveland wins and Milwaukee and New York both lose, Cleveland gets the three-way tiebreaker, and they will move into second place in the Eastern Conference. There are other scenarios where they could win and end up third, win and end up fourth. Losing almost guarantees them, actually it does, guarantee them the four spots. So, you know, there's every reason for the Cavs to play through the tape here and try and pick up a victory. That is the setting for this final game of the season. You know how the game previews work, Kyle. We need a player to watch for both teams as well as a stat to watch. Where do you want to begin?
Just a player to watch.
All right, player to watch. Let's go for the home team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They do have Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, all playing simultaneously. A season that's had quite a few injuries at times for that squad. But here at the end, when you need them all to be playing, they're all playing.
They are. I'm going to go Jared Allen. I would expect Donovan Mitchell's. These guys are playing, as you said, for everything right now. Donovan Mitchell is the best player on this team, but as you talked about several minutes ago, the Hornets lack center depth. Jared Allen is a monster in the middle, 29-13, their last time out, and that went over the Pacers. So I look for him to try to feast against a Hornets front court that, you know, is lacking in manpower a bit right now. I expect Steve Clifford and company to do what they do every time and, you know, have a great game plan going into this to try to slow him down. But, you know, slowing down Jared Allen is easier said than done quite often, and I would look for him to try to make a real impact in this game.
I like the pick. I'm going to go Donovan Mitchell. It's kind of a sideways look at it. As of the recording of this podcast, we really do not know the status for a lot of the Hornets players for today's game. There is certainly a chance that the franchise could say, hey, let's just rest guys. We've done enough here. And one of the players that I think could be on that list is Brandon Miller. He's had an outstanding rookie season, but the reason I say Donovan Mitchell and try and tie it back to Brandon Miller is twofold. One, Cavs have a very good defensive team, but they do seem to have a little bit of a blind spot in terms of guarding big wings. They got two smaller guards in Garland and Mitchell, and then they've got an enormous pair of players at the post positions. I don't know who exactly guards Brandon Miller, but I got a feeling it might be Mitchell. So that gives Brandon Miller some shooting opportunities over the top that he might not have against a vertically more advantageous person. And furthermore, Donovan Mitchell is the guy Brandon Miller is kind of chasing here on the last day of the season, because Donovan Mitchell in his rookie year made 187 three-point shots, the second most in a rookie season in NBA history. Brandon Miller has 184. So if they end up going head-to-head for even a half, that's the matchup I will be keyed in on as a way to squeeze Brandon Miller into this podcast. Let's go stat to watch, or do you want to go Hornet to watch?
Let's go stat to watch. What do you think?
All right, I'll tip this off, and for the first time, I'm going to do something other than a real stat in the game. I'm going to go scoreboard watching. That's what I've got for this one, because really, you know, a lot of the scenarios get changed based on what is happening with Milwaukee and what is happening with the New York Knicks here on the final day of the season. If Milwaukee ends up pulling away from Orlando on the road on the final day of the season, and New York ends up pulling away at home from Chicago on the final day of the season, that could dictate the way that the Hornets and Cavaliers play. I know they're playing them all simultaneously to try and avoid teams getting into, you know, funny business, trying to manipulate the system, but there's television in the world. So they're going to know who's up where, and I think it could have a serious impact on how the fourth quarter at least is played between Cleveland and Charlotte if the Knicks and Bucks are either running away with their games or getting blown out in their games. That will dictate a little bit at least how Cleveland handles things.
I like that. I like that. Mine's not as big picture as yours. You know, mine's actually, as it relates to this game, Darius Garland is averaging 11 assists per game in two outings against the Hornets this year. And, you know, I look for that in this game to be, you know, a big factor. Ball distribution, finding open shooters, are his teammates locked in and knocking down shots when he finds them open. And so I'm looking at Darius Garland distributing the basketball today against the Hornets to see if he continues what he's done so far this year.
I like it. Last but not least, a Hornet to watch here for the final game, game 82 of the 23-24 season.
Oh, this one's easy, Sam. It's Brandon Miller. He's been so much fun to watch this year. You know, as I said publicly last week, I voted for him for the Rick Pitino Good Guy Award from the media. I think he's handled himself beautifully with the press, but his most important function here is as a basketball player, and he has more than delivered on what was expected of him in his first season. He's oftentimes, as you know, been the number one scoring option. He's been asked to defend the number one scoring option on the other side. He has stayed healthy. He's been on the floor for the most part. And to hear Steve Clifford tell it, he's an old-school throwback young man who takes coaching, takes it well, and puts it into practice. So I'd like to see him go out with a bang and remind folks that the future's still bright.
Love it. I'll go with the other first-round pick from his rookie class. I'm taking Nick Smith Jr. Nick, somewhat quietly, has had a really strong start to his NBA career. He is a 19-year-old young man. He'll turn 20 later on this week, but for now, still just a teenager. 27th overall pick in the last draft. He was the high school national player of the year coming into Arkansas last season. Unfortunately, injuries kind of turned things sideways on him. Who knows? If he had had an outstanding year, maybe he's a top five pick and in a much better footing to jump into the NBA. But I think given the situation he came into, he handled it beautifully. He did get some runs for several weeks out there as an off-the-bench guard, and he showed an NBA skill set. He's shooting 42% from three in his rookie season. So as much as we marvel at Brandon Miller, there are two shooters in this class that have already established themselves in the NBA. Nick, since the trade deadline, came out of the rotation. The addition of Micic and Curry and Bertans kind of took away his role. Nick Smith Jr. just kept working, went to the G League, had a productive stretch there, shot 44% from three in the G. So now he's likely going to get a lot of run here today on the last day of the regular season. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do with it. If he can set some career highs, can he go for 20 in a game? Does he knock down five threes? What kind of tone does he set for his summer? And looking forward to his sophomore season when he'll be all of 20. So Charlotte still definitely has the cupboard stocked with talent here. And Nick Smith Jr., I think, is a big part of it.
No doubt. And what does he think of Coach Cal to Arkansas? Also that. I'll throw that in the mix as well.
I'm as excited to talk to him about Eric Musselman, the Mus Bus, rolling into USC. That's my personal thumbs up for that move. I'm excited about it.
No, I bet you are. Eric Musselman's a great coach. He's a great coach. No, Nick Smith Jr. is one of those players, though, that I think some fans still occasionally need reminding is not only on the roster, but potentially has a really bright future ahead of him as well. So I'm excited to see what the next head coach does, the next developmental staff does, to really get the best out of him.
Many more storylines to come, and they'll all be covered by Kyle Bailey on 92.7 Sports Radio WFNZ here on Afternoons, all through the summer, through the coaching search, through the coaching decision, leading up to the next NBA draft. And, you know, before we know it, it'll be October again, and we'll be rolling into a new season. And, you know, Kyle Bailey will have it covered both on his show and on Hornets pregame once we return for the 24-25 season. Kyle Bailey, thanks for joining me today and all throughout the season. And I'll talk to you in a couple hours here for Hornets pregame.
My friend, you are a pro. I truly enjoy working with you. Thank you for having me. We'll talk to you in a few hours.
Can't wait. Thanks to Kyle Bailey. Thanks to our producer, Rob Longo, for putting this podcast together. Thanks to all of you, most of all, for tuning in today and all season long. Enjoy the final day of the regular season. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Rob Longo will have a game recap edition of the Hornets Hivecast.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.